Hi, everybody. It's good to see you. I do bring you greetings from the Lord's Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington. And it's appropriate to try to express some gratitude, and I always try to do that, but I never feel like I do it well enough, because this church is the most gracious church I think I've ever seen in my life. You have been such a blessing to me. It's been about 3 years since I've been here, but your name is a good name, because it feels like home. It feels like home. So I really do appreciate everything that's been done, the food, the singing, everything, the ride from the airport, the accommodations, outstanding. Let's get into the Word. I'd like to begin with one verse of Scripture this evening. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. If you're here tonight and you're unsure about your eternal destiny, my heart goes out to you. My message tonight is mostly for believers. As the conference winds down, I just felt like I want to be an encouragement. Y'all have been an encouragement to me, and I wish I could repay the favor somehow. My message is going to be entitled A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. And the text there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I have reached the stage of life where, as time goes by, I'm seeing more and more of my friends in the Lord go home to be with the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if I don't have more friends on the other side of the river than on this side of the river. It's a bittersweet thing. It's bitter because we miss them, right? But it's sweet because we know that they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And someday, soon, we're going to meet them at the feet of Jesus and praise Him together again. Last year, I preached my pastor's funeral. And that was tough. Brother Glenn Tweet was my pastor. And he was a great, great man. He was a soldier. He was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I know he was a Navy man, but he was a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. In January, we were having our 34th anniversary meeting at Tacoma. And during that meeting, we got word that our beloved missionary in Mindanao went home to be with the Lord. Brother Crescencio Baltimore. I was privileged to go on a trip to the Philippines and help Brother Baltimore organize two churches under the authority of the Lord's Baptist Church several years ago. And I'll never forget that trip. Brother Baltimore was another one. In fact, this message and two other ones were, when I got the word that Brother Baltimore had passed away, God gave me three messages just like that. I had to hurry up and run up to my study and try to put them down before I forgot them, because that happens at this stage of life too. But he was a great soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think of others, we were talking about this on the way over this afternoon. So many great men of God have touched our lives. And this very conference. What can you say? They were an inspiration to me. Great men of God. I want to be like that. Like the text says here. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. What about you? As a believer, as a child of God, don't you want to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul, that's what he was instructing Timothy to be right here in this scripture. I'd like to consider for a few minutes tonight five things that identify a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're right here in four verses. First of all, in order for us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we will be strong in grace. You cannot be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and be weak in grace. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. In verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace." That is in Christ Jesus. When I think about being strong in grace, I think about men like Brother Crescencio Baltimore. Men who would not back down, even at the expense of being ostracized. You can read the story about how we inherited the Philippine mission work on our website. If you have access to the web, go to thelordsbaptistchurch.com and click on the mission page. And it tells a little story about how we got involved with the mission work. Brother Baltimore was doing mission work in the Philippines, and he was doing work under the authority of a church down in Texas. And word got back to the church in Texas that their missionary was a Calvinist. And so they wrote him a letter of inquiry and wanted to find out what he was preaching. And Brother Baltimore replied, "Well, you call it Calvinism, I call it Bible. And yes, I believe in T, total depravity. U, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. I, is irresistible grace. P, perseverance and preservation of the saints." And he listed scriptures for all of those. And so they excluded him. And they wrote to their organization and had him kicked out as a missionary, I guess you could say it that way. And so what did Brother Baltimore do? He started looking for a church for authority to do mission work. When I heard that, that broke my heart. I tell you what, I've been approached I don't know how many times by men overseas somewhere wanting to connect with us. But the bottom line was always, can you help us financially? Brother Baltimore never mentioned money. What he wanted more than anything else in the world was authority from a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ to do mission work on Mindanao. He finally found a church in California, and they took him in. They declared publicly in a letter that they would not recognize the church in Texas that excluded him for preaching Bible truth. And they recognized him as a biblically baptized believer and an elder, and received him as their missionary, and recommended to him that if he had baptized any of the people in the missions work that under the authority supposedly of this supposed church down there in Texas, take them into the water and give them some baptism that has some true church authority. And so that's what happened. And eventually the church in California disbanded, and most of their members were lettered out to the Lord's Baptist Church in Tacoma. And that's how we became involved in the mission work in the Philippines. But the point that I'm trying to make is that to be, you got to be strong in grace. And some, if I went to the Philippines and I met some Filipino preachers, and I've since then also received multiple emails from Filipino preachers in particular, and I knew from being there that these fellows, a lot of these fellows, they will, once they find out what you believe, guess what? They believe that too. That wasn't the case with Brother Baltimore. He came believing the truth and not compromise. He gave up his livelihood. He was making about $350 a month as a missionary through that other outfit, and he came to us just wanting authority, and so we took him on. And we're not a big fancy church. You would be surprised to see what I preach to on a Lord's Day morning in Tacoma, Washington. But our little flock supported Brother Baltimore with at least how much an entire association, Baptist Association, supported him by. Why? Because we believed that he was strong in grace. He was strong in grace. Our other missionary, he's... by the way, Brother Bob Ellis is our missionary in Ireland. Some of you support him. Lord willing, the first part of April, we're going to organize a true New Testament church in Cork County, Ireland. So you pray for us about that. I hope it works out. We were going to do it once earlier, but Brother Ellis had a relapse with his health, and we had to postpone it. But so pray for us about that. That everything will go smoothly on that. But here's another thing. We kind of inherited Brother Ellis too in a roundabout way. While the Lord saved him in a church in Iowa somewhere, and he felt a missionary came through that was going to Ireland, and God burdened his heart to go to Ireland as a missionary. So he went to school for a while in Springfield, Missouri, but he dropped out. There were things being taught that just bothered him, and he dropped out, decided to go on deputation work and see if he could get enough support to go to the mission fields. And while he was on deputation work, he was challenged by several good sovereign grace pastors on the doctrine of grace. And when he got back to the mission field, to Ireland, he began to study. He had more time, and he began to study those things out, and God showed it to him. Amen. And his eyes were opened, and he saw this is true. And some other truths. And so he wrote to his pastor, who was at that time in a church in Springfield, Illinois, and said, I've changed my position, and I feel like I probably should seek another church now that is more in line with my doctrinal position. And his pastor was grieved by that, but agreed that if he had indeed, gone, Calvinist, as they call it, it'd probably be the better thing for him to do. So, I'm trying to make a long story short here. He did come. He came to us. We did some research on his baptism. There were some questions about it. So we wound up giving him scriptural baptism in Tacoma. We flew him here to Tacoma, gave him scriptural baptism, gave him a grilling ordination. He went back to Ireland and baptized the flock there in Ireland under the authority of the Lord's Baptist Church. But the thing is that what I want you to see is that he experienced the same thing that Brother Baltimore did. He had a whole bunch of enough churches and enough support to send him to the mission field, but when he became a member of the Lord's Baptist Church, guess what? Not only did they drop their support, but they wrote him nasty letters and told him, you don't know what you're doing to your family. Those Calvinists will let you die on the mission field. They're the ones that cut support. We're the ones that slowly but surely enough support came. We started with a cup on the pulpit for our Ireland mission work. A plastic tumbler. And the members of the Lord's Baptist Church would come up every Lord's Day and put their pocket change in it. That's how we got started in the mission work in Ireland. And word started getting out about Brother Ellis, and some other brethren started chipping in. Other churches started helping. Next thing you know, the work was just going. It was smooth. We weren't going to. Every missionary that I ever heard about that was abandoned on the mission field was abandoned by Arminians, not Calvinists. Or, and I don't even like that name, Calvinist, but because I don't, I believe the truths that we preach and teach is something that was in existence long before Calvin was even born. Amen. So, but in order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you got to be like Brother Baltimore or Brother Ellis or somebody like that who will not back down on the truth of God, no matter what, even if it means being ostracized by the brethren. That's a mark of a true, good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we want to support in Tacoma. We're, like I said, we're not a wealthy congregation, but we love mission work. And we do what we can do to help missionaries. But we want to help missionaries that are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We want to support men of like faith and practice. And so we, when we consider supporting missionaries, we look and we compare what they say they believe with what we know we believe. In the second chapter of Ephesians, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses here to make a point. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." File that away in your mind for a moment. First chapter, Ephesians 4 and 5. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." File that away and think about it for a moment with that other one. John, the 6th chapter, verse 3. John 6, verse... No, actually 37, 38 and 39. Jesus is speaking. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." File that one away with the other ones that we've just read. First Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye received of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." File that one away with those other ones for a moment. One more. John, the 10th chapter. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 28. Jesus again. "And I give unto them..." Who's that? Well, verse 37, "my sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Do you believe any of these verses that I've read just now? You do? You believe Tulip. All right. Let's look at another mark of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we will propagate the truth. And we'll go back again to our initial text there in 2 Timothy. And look at verse 2 this time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. When we organized the churches in the Philippines, I printed out our doctrinal statement, our articles of faith, if you will, there in Tacoma, and I took them with me. And I said, this is what the church that is authorizing you to organize believes. And they cranked out a piece of paper and they just changed the names. Instead of the Lord's Baptist Church in Tacoma, it was like the Lord's Missionary Baptist Church in Tagum, Mindanao. Same articles of faith. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, good soldiers of Jesus Christ, who shall be able to teach others also. To propagate the truth, we will preach and present the 5 points of the doctrine of grace. Any way, every way that we possibly can. Every opportunity that avails itself to us, we will be busy about propagating the doctrine of God's sovereign grace. Whether it's audio, preaching, video, the printing press, on the web, World Wide Web, or whatever. Even starting a preacher school or an institute of something. Whatever we can do to propagate the truth, that's what we ought to be doing as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We will present the landmark truth on service after salvation. Also, always preaching it, teaching it, printing it, publishing it, whatever we can do to get the truth out about salvation by the sovereign grace of God and service in a true New Testament congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will present the blessed hope of Christ's soon return. You know, back in Revelation, close to the end of the book, it talks about he's going to come back quickly. And the old apostle said, you know what he said, right? You've probably said it yourself many times, especially when trials and tribulations come in your life. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Another mark of a good soldier of Jesus Christ is if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we will endure hardness. That gets back to our text now that we started with. We will endure hardness. It's being a soldier is that's what it's about, isn't it? Enduring hardness. Living without the frills. I appreciate your message, brother. And thank you for your service. We can get by on an awful lot less than we think we need. I'll read the text one more time. It says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We will preach when hard-hearted sinners mock. We will keep on preaching the love of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in the lasciviousness and lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." How many of you, after the Lord saved you, had some of your friends mock and scoff and ridicule you and call you a hypocrite because they know what you were like? What are you going to do about that? Preach the love of Jesus Christ and never quit preaching the love of Jesus Christ. I know I'm not worth saving, but He saved me in spite of myself. We will preach when hard-hearted religionists reject the truth. Don't you think Stephen learned that? Acts the 7th chapter, verses 57 and 58, to keep it short. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." And there's more to the story than that. But the point is, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will not compromise, will not quit, will not back down, even in the face of hardship from old friends or hard treatment from religious hypocrites themselves. We will preach when our flesh feels too weary to go on. A good soldier will keep on keeping on. Amen. We'll stay on the mission. Amen. A good soldier won't desert. Amen. No matter how hard the battle, no matter how much the psych people, Brother Charlie, they've got special units. You know about them, don't you? Psych units. No matter what they say, what they do to discourage you from doing your duty, a good soldier will keep on keeping on. They can make it tough on you. I didn't know that he was one of those guys. When I was out there in the field, back in the Cold War days, waiting for the rush, 8 minutes. Hold on for 8 minutes, that's what we were supposed to do. Hold on for 8 minutes. And then that 8 minutes, guys like Charlie would drop leaflets and funny stories and stuff on us. Yeah. Sometimes being a soldier isn't eating jelly beans. But a good soldier of Jesus Christ will keep on keeping on. We will preach not only when hard-hearted sinners mock us, not only when hard religionists reject the truth, no matter what we say and how lovingly we say it, they still reject the truth. We'll keep on preaching the truth in love. And even when the old flesh says, oh, what's the use? How can I take another step? We keep on keeping on. And one more thing on this point. We will preach when Satan does all that he can do to discourage us. You see, being a Christian isn't always peaches and cream. It isn't always a bowl of cherries. But a good soldier of Jesus Christ has all of these attributes, and he will not compromise. He will not give in. Why? Because he loves the Lord. The Lord did for him far more. What can you do? Listen to me. If you think you can pay back Jesus for what he did, you just forget it right now. No way possible anybody could ever pay back Jesus for what he did for us. That's impossible. And so we just thank him and we serve him no matter what, because we love him, because he did what he did for us even when we hated him. A good soldier of Jesus Christ will also stay focused. Stay focused. Verse 4, back in our text again. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's another mark of a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not stop fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, children of God, stay in the fight. I know, we've heard it all through this conference. I know how bad times are. I never thought that I would ever find myself involved in some of the things that I'm involved in to try and combat immorality in our nation. But we need to fight the good fight of faith. We will not let financial things sidetrack us. And that's usually one of the first things that stops us. When we try to do something right, almost always one of the first obstacles is, how you going to pay for it, preacher? Do God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can sell a herd of them anytime he wants to. Yeah, he owns the hills too. That's right. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Says, how about this one? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, I don't know. I don't know why I get so discouraged about finances. But, you know, sometimes we do. But we keep on keeping on. We will not let family things sidetrack our service. And this is another kicker. I mean, this one is, you'd be surprised how many pastors are set aside in their ministry because of family issues. Churches become deadwood because of family issues. In Mark, the 10th chapter, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 29 and 30 there. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100 fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. That's Jesus talking. I mean, what can you say to that? Is it, hey, that answers the question. That stops my argument. No matter what, I'm going to keep on keeping on because of the love of Jesus Christ. And if my family forsakes me, look what I got here. And we will not let the flesh sidetrack our service. This might be the worst of them all. The flesh. The flesh. You know why this is the worst of all? Because it's you. It's me. The old saying is, I'm my worst enemy. You are too. You're your worst enemy. You say, what about the devil? He just uses your flesh against you. That's what he does. He's a master at it. He knows what weakness your flesh is. You know where he knows where you're weakest in the flesh. And guess where he goes? That's how he gets to you. It's not so much that you ought to get mad at the devil. I hate the devil. But it's not so much that we ought to get mad at him. We ought to get mad at ourselves for letting him use our flesh like he does against us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. And lest I, now this is the Apostle Paul, in my humble opinion, one of the greatest men this world has ever seen. I count him as the third greatest man in history. And he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, but that it might be delivered from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So turn it around on the devil when he begins to rant and rave about your weakness in the flesh and use it and twist it and work on you with your weak, weak, weak flesh. And I know it's weak because mine is. But when he does that, turn it around and let it be. Give glory to God no matter what. Just turn it around and say, God's grace is sufficient. I know I can't do it. I know I'm too weak. I know I'm too poor. I know I'm too dumb. I know I can't do it. But God's grace is sufficient. And keep on keeping on as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, the last part of that back in our text again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. The last part of verse 4. I want to read that one more time because the last evidence, I think, of a good soldier of Jesus Christ is how that we will put God first. No matter what. Put God first. And like I said in the beginning, the message tonight is for God's people. If you're here and you're unsettled about your salvation, this message is not for you. I'm sorry. This message is not for you. This is for God's people. But I will tell you, join the crowd. Join the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find a better army to serve in. Amen. Amen. Than the army of God. Amen. One preacher already told us, the victory is sure. Amen. We're on the winning side. Say, so, yeah, but you don't know what they're doing to us behind our backs in Washington, D.C. I don't care anymore. I've turned off my cable and I don't even listen to that junk anymore. I don't care. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. And by His grace, I will keep on keeping on. And I'm going to put God first. Oh yeah. So what if they put me in a FEMA camp? I've heard those stories. You know what? They don't even scare me anymore. I can preach just as loud in a FEMA camp as I can from right here. Put God first. We will remember He chose us. You say, well, I thought we were serving in a volunteer army. No. No, if you're a true child of God, and if you're really, truly in the army of God, you've been drafted. You've been called to service. You didn't volunteer. Volunteers can quit. We will seek to please Him according to His Word. You say, how do you do that? I mean, we've got every kind of religious outfit you can imagine in Tacoma, Washington. Oh, we are very religious in Tacoma. We have got everything you want. You want to be religious? Come on over to Tacoma, Washington. Whatever you want, they've got it. Just come on down. You know, why? Boom, 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 boom. You know, they've got it all. Yeah. I live next door to a religious outfit. And I'm glad that we're almost always, we are always gone on Sunday. Because when they get a rocking over there, I mean, the knickknacks vibrate across the shelves on our house. But I'm telling you, if you want to serve God, you got to do it God's way. Put Him first and serve Him according to His Word. You say, but I feel. I don't want to hear what you feel. I just want you to know that if you really want to serve God, you got to get into the book. Because these are our marching orders. Amen. Right here. You're not going to get what God's got for you down at the local honky-tonk Church of the Living Rock and Roll. No, you're not going to get it there. You can get entertained, but you're not going to get the truth of God. Go to the Word of God. Scripture says in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 23, 24, and 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, neither of incorruptible, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth, ETH, you know, keeps on enduring. Every time you see the ETH in your good old King James Bible, it means that's continuing action. You miss out on that in a lot of this other junk. But anyway, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It takes the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all right, in conclusion then tonight, we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not impossible. You say, preacher, what you're saying is impossible. No! If you're trying to do it on your own, by your own strength, by your own power, yeah, you'll never make it. But it's not impossible. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, when they told Jesus, that's impossible. With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ because we have the Bible on our side. First of all, we have the God of grace on our side. We have faithful brethren in the ministry on our side. We have beloved brethren that have fought the good fight and have moved on home. I believe they're still rooting for us. A great company in heaven, round about the throne, cheering us on as we do the right thing with the right heart attitude. We are on the winning side. And if you're not saved tonight, all I can tell you, my friend, is repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn around. Quit living your life like you've been living it and live for God instead by His grace. You can't do it, I know, in your own strength, but He will be with you. You trust Him. And I can guarantee it on my own personal experience. I can guarantee it better than that from the Word of God. He will keep His Word. He is God. He cannot lie. So turn tonight, my lost friend, right where you are, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, are you not concerned? What are you going to do when it hits the fan in this country and you don't know where to turn anymore? The folks in this congregation know where to turn. Get over here. If you can't, by the grace of God, trust Christ now, and I urge you, don't put it off because you might not make it. I mean, you say, I'm crazy enough to believe that a sniper could take you out before you get here when it hits the fan. Listen, my friend, repent and believe the gospel. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I know it sounds so simple, but I don't know how else to say it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A greater man than I said that to a Philippian jailer, and that guy got saved. Got saved. I know bad terminology, but forgive me. So, now, after you believe, then what? Then, this message that I preach tonight, you want it? Preach it to yourself again. Get it. May God take it home to your heart. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ after you're saved. Be strong in grace. Preach the truth. Propagate the truth. Endure hardness. Stay focused. And always, always put God first.